The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Peter Boyle Show at 6:02. Voice of the People took the long weekend off. But never fear, Billy Thompson's here managing the phones and making everything happen. I'm Randy Corcoran from Saturday Mornings, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. And we've already been talking about the hypocrisy of the Denver mayor tweeting out, giving a public statement, encouraging everyone to stay home, don't travel, don't gather together for Thanksgiving, and then sneaking out of town to fly to be with his wife and his daughter elsewhere. And even the local Denver Post and our favorite around here, 9 News, called him out on it. We'll get back into that story. In fact, our brand new Congresswoman, Lauren Boebert, tweeted about our mayor, and she'll join us later on in this hour. But right now, very special guest. We had him on last Saturday, and I got so much feedback from that interview, which we cut short. We had an in-studio guest that wound up sticking around for the whole show, Joe Altman, who was talking about what he has discovered about Dominion voting systems, and Eric Coomer, the parent Antifa loving Antifa supporter, Antifa activist, part owner of Dominion Voting Systems. And so that story's been on fire, of course. And we'll get back to, I'll answer Angie's questions from earlier in the hour about what's ahead for the president. I've got all the details on lawsuits, on deadlines, and everything else. But we had a chance to get Dr. Armstrong back on, and he joins us now. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am very good, sir. And I'll tell you, I had a lot of feedback after our interview with you last Saturday. People were so excited to know that they could get hydroxychloroquine to have on hand if they need it or even take as a prophylactic measure. We'll certainly talk about that. But before we do, for Peter's audience, let's introduce you. You're a doctor from Texas. You're the Republican National Committee man from Texas, which is how you and I got together. You're married to a doctor. Give us a little bit of your history before we jump into how you've been taking care of patients during the Communist Chinese Party Wuhan virus.
Right. So I have been involved quite a long time in the party, and I've been a physician, obviously, went to medical school at UT Galveston here. I've been involved with the party. I was vice chairman of the Republican Party of Texas for 4 years. I was involved locally, been involved working with the party for a long time, working for our conservative values. I was actually national co-chair for for Medical Professionals for Trump. And so I've had a chance to advise the White House on healthcare matters. I've been up into the White House in the cabinet room for meetings with the president in the Roosevelt room there in the West Wing for meetings, advising him on how we should repeal and replace Obamacare and those matters. And so it's been good to be involved. This president's been very open to listening to folks who are not inside the Beltway. So it's been very refreshing and nice to work with him. And so I've got 4 boys. I'm married to a physician. 4 boys: Daniel, Gabriel, Joshua, and Noah. And they're growing up and getting taller than me and their mama now. So it's been good. It's great working with you on the RNC as well, Republican National Committee. I've been on that body for 8 years and just got reelected to that.
You know, I've never asked you this question. I shouldn't say it always comes up, but I often like to bring up this topic when I'm talking with a black conservative Republican. Because all we've heard for 4 years is what a racist that the president is, what a, you know, the Republican Party, the we're now somehow history got flipped on its ear and we're the party of slave owners and all of those sorts of things. Have you experienced anything in your interactions with fellow Republicans, this president or his administration, that seemed different or you know, other than it should be because of the color of your skin, for goodness sake?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, that's not been my experience at all. I am, you know, 50 years old, and I have not experienced racism in this country, frankly. I have experienced, not to say that it doesn't exist, but I certainly have not experienced it. My father certainly did. My mother certainly did. My father went to Tuskegee University in Alabama, and he saw a lot of racism there in the 50s. Which you certainly would expect. He saw that and sort of carried that a lot of that anger along with him. But I've not experienced it. You know, I've experienced more of hatred towards me as a Republican in this party in the United States. I've experienced more racism and hatred because of that, racism from the left, you know, and just anger from African Americans on the left. By having conservative values, having the values that I believe that they're frankly are the basis of this country and the basis of our communities as well, that are going to make our communities stronger. I've experienced more racism because of that. You know, the left is really the racist party. They always have been, and they actually still are. They just have an expectation and that African Americans are to vote for them, of course. You know, Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And so it's just shameful how the left uses race, foments race and division to keep sort of black people in their place, which is exactly what they're trying to do. They don't care about the African-American community any more than they get that vote on November 3rd and on Election Day. And still, it's shameful what they do. I'm angry about it more than anybody because I am African American. I see the communities being destroyed. President Trump actually had a plan to revitalize the black community. He had a platinum plan that he laid out in detail, and it's I'm excited that he's going to be able to follow through with that plan when he's inaugurated on January 20th, because I'm still believing in faith that that's going to happen. And so that really needs to happen for all communities, not just the black community. I think this president has been a president for everyone, and I think he'll continue to be that in his second term.
Well, yeah, these traditionally Democrat voting communities recognize that, too, with really historic increases in black support, Hispanic support, the so-called hyper-valued suburban woman vote. All of those were strong for this president. What are we up to now? 10 million more votes than when he was elected the first time, the second highest increase in the history of the presidency.
Right, right. Absolutely. And he increased in all of those communities, in the black community, the Hispanic community, females voted for my, you know, this president really has been the president for everyone. And one thing he's done that's different is as a Republican candidate, he actually made a concerted effort to engage other races, which really has not been done at the candidate level. Oftentimes the consultants will tell the candidates, the Republican candidates, to not engage because they're not going to get any of that vote. But he actually made a concerted effort to engage and has really transformed our party in a lot of ways. It's made it the party of the working man again, party of is going to grow as being the party of Hispanics and African Americans. I think those numbers are just going to grow because I think people, you know, their eyes don't lie to them. You know, what's happening in the communities need to change. And so the only way it's going to change is you do something different. And doing something different is voting Republicans as mayors of these cities and voting Republicans as mayors of these blue states, I mean, as governors of these blue states and voting Republicans in these positions, because I think that's important. That's where the change needs to take place. And I think people are seeing it here in Texas. You know, Hispanic vote went 40+% for the president. There are counties that are 95% Hispanic that President Trump won here in Texas. And so there is a change taking place, and that is what is a big threat. That's why the Democrats felt they had to ramp up their cheating efforts to win this election and the presidency.
You mentioned the inauguration of President Trump for a second term on January 20th. I'm a strong believer that the odds, you know, this is a tough pull. It's an uphill climb, but the right. circumstantial evidence, the evidence of witnesses themselves, the hearings that are happening, the fact that a judge in Nevada is going to hear a case next week. We're in Pennsylvania, Georgia, all around. These significant states, even Arizona, they found more ballots and got Donald Trump down within, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 votes. I believe that's going to happen, too. But the clock is ticking. That safe harbor deadline is coming up in, what, 11 days, I think, December 8th, when the state right. state legislatures are supposed to gather together as a body to determine who their electors are going to be. So the thing that we have against us is the clock. But the Electoral College and what the legislatures do is not the end-all, be-all to the options for the president moving forward either, is it?
Right, right, absolutely. And so, you know, that I think that something certainly needs to move by that December 8th deadline, certainly by December 14th, because I think what happens is politically it just becomes very difficult to move forward after those dates. But I certainly think things are going to move quickly. You'll get an expedited hearing, and we'll get things through and be able to reveal what is happening. And this is not just for this election. President Trump is really fighting a fight and a battle that's been going on for quite some time in these liberal areas, in these areas where liberals control the judges and these precincts and they control the whole election apparatus. So this has gone on for a while, and it needs to stop. It's never gone on to this level. It's always been a local thing. We've seen it here in Texas in pockets, and we've had to fight voter fraud in these areas. But it's gone on very broadly this time, and it just needs to stop. These expansion of voting, and you know, we want everybody to vote. We want votes to be done legally, and I think the Democrats plan for chaos in this election because chaos helps them, and chaos benefits them, and they don't want order in an election. But I think that by the grace of God, and we're going to prevail in these legal challenges. It certainly is an uphill battle. But certainly electing President Trump in 16 was an uphill battle as well. So we're still believing in faith that these judges will do the right thing.
Talking with Dr. Robin Armstrong, the Republican National Committee man from Texas as well. We haven't even gotten into the medicine yet. But last comment I'll make anyway for the moment on the president is I just love in his press conferences, much like the Russia collusion hoax, the phony impeachment scam, and all of the information that's coming out, the investigations that are going on behind the scenes about how they were attacking and spying on his campaign from the beginning. He's saying the exact same thing about this election fraud. He said, "We caught him." I don't know how long this has been going on, but we caught him. And he says it with such confidence. I've been working with Sidney Powell lawyers who've been actually working out of my conference room last week at my law firm. I have a lot of inside information on, you know, some of the challenges that will be coming up. We've seen the two massive lawsuits that Sidney Powell dropped Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And the confidence level of the president should really inspire people who are, you know, chasing this roller coaster. Heart sinks every time a case gets dismissed, and then heart rises again when a judge says, "Yeah, that's concerning. I will have a hearing on that." People just need to pray and live their lives, and if they can support the president, you know, winred.com is a good place to go with your donations, because these legal battles are incredibly expensive. But you know, God is in charge, right? And so this is going to play out the way it should. I believe that includes a second term of President Donald J. Trump.
Amen. And I will agree with you there. I think it's so important. It's vitally important just for the freedom of our nation and the freedom of its people. And I think that you can look and see who Joe Biden is naming, who he would desire to name as a part of his cabinet. And it's just the same unethical retreads from the Obama administration. And it really, it's a danger. It's a danger to our freedom and our liberties. So we have to be ready to fight this fight, continue to fight this fight with the president, fight it in spiritually in prayer, and also fight it certainly with the lawyers and financially by supporting them, supporting the RNC financially, supporting the Win Red and the GOP.com, supporting these organizations financially who are funding these recounts. We've actually sent Texans to Wisconsin who are helping with their recount right now. You know, certainly we're fighting on two fronts because we've got to fight a fight in Georgia as well, these two Senate races that are coming up January 5th. So we're fighting battles on multiple fronts, but they're all battles that are worthy of fighting and worthy of winning, and I think we'll win them all.
Yeah, we sent our Colorado GOP lawyer to Arizona just right after the election. I had bags packed because I'd received an email to be ready to go. Fortunately, I didn't get that call because I've got so much going on here. But I just love watching the machine work and then listening to the psychological operation that the mainstream media is trying to work on the public with this repeated office of the president-elect BS. And so, you know, we haven't even gotten to the medicine. Will you be able to stay with us through a break and do some on the other side?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's finish this. Let's exhaust this topic yet. We'll pick up hydroxychloroquine, the CCP virus, and all of that on the other side. One of our listeners, I get email. I'm on doing the Peter Boyle Show today. Remind folks, you've got to email me at Wake Up with Randy Corcoran page at 710knus.com. I don't get Peter's email, but a listener, Don, sent me to Jerome Corsi's website. Are you familiar with Dr. Corsi at all?
I am.
Okay. Well, it's interesting there because in multiple pages on his website, he reminds us that Donald Trump always looks like he's going to lose just before he wins. And how true has that been with every attack that's been on this president from the escalator trip down right through to today?
Absolutely. That's very true. You know, yeah. In fact, I'll tell you, in 2016, I mean, I didn't think he was going to win on Election Day. Certainly the polling did not say that. And we worked hard for him, campaigned for him, went to different states for him. But we're just, you know, working and fighting the good fight without an expectation that he would win, and he won. You know, certainly he mentioned some things early on in his presidency about how the Obama administration had spied on his campaign, and everybody said, oh, my goodness, he's gone crazy.
Yeah.
But certainly that turned out to be true.
He's paranoid.
You know, so everything he says turns out to be true. It's really interesting.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Well, Doc, before we get into our break, let people know what America's Frontline Doctors is and how you came to be a part of them, and then we'll pick up the health part of our conversation on the other side of the break. Go ahead.
All right. So what American Frontline Doctors is an organization that is basically fighting the fight against censorship, fighting the fight against truth in healthcare and truth in science. Because what we've seen in this pandemic is that this has been very political, and the truth has not been communicated by the media. It's not been communicated by many leading scientists in this country. And so we found that there are therapeutics that can be used that are inexpensive, cheap, that can get people better from this virus. There's a group of physicians all over the country that communicate now, and we communicate with each other. We throw out ideas. We're communicating. We're doing the communication amongst the scientists in the community. There's probably about 150 physicians all over the world on this communique email. We're doing the conversations that the general public is not doing, that the NIH is not doing, the CDC is not doing. They're basically telling us what we should be doing without any scientific evidence. And we're actually doing it, in a quiet fashion, communicating with one another. And we're getting our message out via American Frontline Doctors. We do press conferences. We do emails. We are treating patients on the front lines of this pandemic, and we have been treating patients on the front lines. And so it's a group of doctors who are actually treating patients, not like Dr. Fauci, who hadn't treated anyone in probably 20 or 30 years, not like these talking heads on television, Dr. Jha, who hadn't treated anybody in 30 years and never treated a COVID patient. And so these folks are just talking from books. They're not talking from actually treating patients. And so we're a group of doctors who are actually treating patients in this COVID pandemic, treating patients successfully and seeing them get well. I got involved with them. I was called because we treated a group of nursing home patients.
Yeah, and let's pause there because we'll pick up that story on the other side and then get into what people should know about the prophylactics out there, the way to keep themselves safe. I'd like you to be thinking about vaccinations, what people should know about that and be prepared for, and maybe get into the efficacy of masks for a minute or two if we have a chance on the other side. So Dr. Robin Armstrong stays with us. I hope you will too. Randy Corcoran here for Peter Boyles, 710 KNUS.
When radio counts, count on Peter Boyles.
Yeah, some things you just can't step on. Allman Brothers, Sweet Melissa. 628, Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyles, joined by a terrific guest. Really looking forward to seeing him at the White House Christmas party next week. Dr. Robin Armstrong, national committee man from Texas and one of America's frontline doctors. And so, Doctor, we were sort of introducing America's frontline doctors at the end of the last segment. And I just love how God puts people in the right place at the right time, because I've known Jenny Beth Martin for, gosh, maybe near a decade now, founder of Tea Party Patriots. She was looking to connect with you. I had just been elected as the Republican National Committee man, so that's why she reached out to me. And I just happened to have access to your phone number, was able to put you guys together. And it was, within a day or so that you flew out to be on the front steps of, was it the Supreme Court or the Capitol, with that first viral video that social media had to take down, talking about the different ways to protect people during the era of COVID-19. It just all happened so quickly. I love it.
Right. Jenny Beth is great. I appreciate you making that contact. She's really helped organize a lot of what we're doing. She's worked with Dr. Simone Gold from the very beginning of this. But what is really interesting also is how this all came about. You know, it came about this way for all of us physicians. You know, I was just treating patients in the hospital and treating patients in the nursing home. And there have been some studies that we've seen as physicians. We've seen these studies out of France and out of China that said that hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin help decrease viral load in these COVID-19 patients. So we just started treating patients. So this was done very innocently. We weren't looking to start a movement or birth a movement or get involved with a political movement. But what happened was there was something very odd about what was happening. The information and that was telling us, you know, to treat them a certain way in this pandemic was being censored. It was being shut down. You know, it's just many physicians were censoring the information and not wanting to hear it. And it was the very oddest thing I'd ever seen. You know, why are we treating this pandemic in this way? There's clear evidence that something works. These therapeutics work. Why are we not using them more broadly? In fact, at first, we were using them very broadly. In the hospitals, we were using hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin because it's all we had at the time. So we were using it in the hospital. That's what sort of gave me the idea to use it in the nursing home. Turns out we were the first physicians in the United States to use it on a large group of patients in a nursing home setting. And our governor was very interested. A lieutenant governor who was able to help me get some of the medications was very interested in the turnout, because our thought was that, wow, this is going to be the standard of care and how you should treat patients in the nursing home after we got so many positive results. Our patients did well. A vulnerable group of patients, we were expecting 30% of them to die according to statistics and according to other nursing homes in the United States and around the world. And we had one that died of COVID-19, one out of 38, which was absolutely amazing results. And we thought, you know, we're going to put this out as an observation study. We were just treating patients. It wasn't designed to be a study. But we're going to put it out because that's what you do in pandemics, and then that information is used by other physicians. Well, we were attacked by the left. We were attacked by the left. We were attacked by Big Pharma. We were attacked by leftist positions. We were censored by YouTube, censored by Facebook, censored by all these different organizations, big tech, and censored by Twitter certainly as well. And so we thought this is the oddest thing we've ever seen. We're just trying to treat patients and get them better, and we're being censored because of this. And that's, you know, Ronald Reagan in General Electric talks as a young man, he talked about health care and how socialists and communists used health care to advance a communist agenda. That's exactly what's happening here. They're using the pretext of COVID-19 to shut us down, to shut down churches, to shut down businesses, to shut down. They are refashioning our economy in a socialist, communist way. And these are people who desire control and power more than anything. They're using this virus to do that. And they're using it in a way that I would have never thought, but it is certainly evil. And we have to fight against it. We have to fight against it because, and that's what American Frontline Doctors is about. It's about getting truthful information out and how you can treat this with a pill that'll cost you a few pennies and rather than using the very expensive medications that Big Pharma is pushing right now.
And you're also giving people an avenue to get these prophylactics, these treatment modalities at AmericasFrontlineDoctors.com, AmericasFrontlineDoctors.com. I did a little research I hadn't done prior to our earlier conversations over the last couple of months, Robin, and I noticed even one of your, maybe not local, but the Houston Chronicle came out, and here was the headline after you started talking about your success using the erythromycin and hydroxychloroquine. And here's the headline in the Houston Chronicle back on May 14th. Even after deaths and positive tests, Texas city doctor declares victory with Trump-touted drug. I mean, what a crock that this is the way they want to present this information. What does anybody have to lose by getting ahead of this thing and trying a treatment that's been around for 60 years, like hydroxychloroquine?
Absolutely. And that's been my contention all along. We have seen tremendous success with it in treating COVID-19 patients. It hasn't worked for everyone. I've never said it was a cure. I've said that we've seen success with it, and it works for a lot of people, even the most vulnerable people. Why don't we use it? Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen for the patient taking hydroxychloroquine is that they took hydroxychloroquine for 5 days and nothing happened, because it is extremely safe. It's extremely inexpensive. And so my thought is, why not try that? You know, I believe that I believe that half the people who have died in the United States today would be alive today had there been a willingness to use this hydroxychloroquine. The president certainly was in favor of it and was taking it for a while, and he even got, you know, attacked and pushed back against because of it. It's amazing how coordinated these forces are, these forces of evil are against the United States of America. I don't understand how you attack this medication, because it's been safe for the last 60 years. It's been FDA approved. As a physician, you know, I know that they take good drugs off the market. They completely remove them, the FDA does, when there's any kind of side effect. And they still have not removed hydroxychloroquine off the market. If you would have thought that it would have been taken off the market if it's so dangerous. Not dangerous at all. No cardiac side effects. I've taken it myself. My wife actually got COVID-19. She took it and felt better within 24 hours. I think it's something that the American people needs to know. It's something that Twitter and Facebook and all these big tech folks have censored. They do not allow videos talking about hydroxychloroquine online. They don't allow it to happen. Yeah. They censor them. They tear it down. It's amazing to me how the left is coordinated in pushing this narrative that if you get COVID-19, you're going to die. The fact is, even elderly people, most elderly people by far, are going to live through COVID-19. most elderly people are going to live. You know, the issue is they're vulnerable, they're elderly, and the odds that they're going to have complications is much higher. But even most of them are going to be fine. What we're looking at is elderly people who have comorbid conditions. They have heart disease, they have diabetes, they're obese, they have other medical problems. Those are the people that are most vulnerable, and those are our nursing home patients. That is where all our focus should have been. We should have put all of our resources, and should have put our billions and billions of dollars into that rather than focusing on locking down people who are healthy.
And Robin, we're back here now because we're into flu season. And so, you know, less sunshine, less fresh air, people indoors more, sharing each other's air. And yet the government is making the same decisions. The local governments in Democrat-controlled cities and states are making the same decisions that they made the first time around with really very poor effect. We've only got a couple of minutes left. We're scheduled to talk to our new Congresswoman, Lauren Boebert, here in about 10 minutes. In the couple of minutes we've got left with you, what should people be thinking about with regard to the promise of vaccinations ahead?
I believe that the vaccination, in my opinion, is not necessary, certainly at this point. In my opinion, the vaccination is more to set people at ease, to set people's mind at ease. The vaccination is sort of like a mask. You know, it's not really doing a whole lot of good. I mean, well, the vaccine will probably be efficacious to some degree, but I just don't think in most Americans that it is even necessary. This is a disease that 99% of Americans are going to get better from. Certainly, there are a lot of deaths. Certainly, we should engage or think about vaccinating our most vulnerable people in nursing homes, because they are most vulnerable. The percentage of them that's going to get it and pass away is much higher. We should look into that, which is where our focus always should have been. But we certainly don't need to have mass vaccinations of everybody in society. It's just not necessary. And so I personally will not take the vaccine. I've said that on television. I've said that on Newsmax and on OAN. And I've said that on Fox News. I will not take it because I don't think it's necessary. It's a very unique vaccine that's an mRNA vaccine that sort of inserts in your DNA and starts creating proteins. And so I will not be taking it. And I will be fighting against any administration's attempts to make it mandatory.
Fantastic.
That's a fight that is absolutely worth fighting.
Yeah, it's great. Well, Robin, every time we get a chance to talk to you, I learn something new, and the strength and clarity of your message is so powerful. Again, I look forward to seeing you in a few days at the White House Christmas party, but especially just want to thank you for giving some of your holiday weekend to our listeners here in Denver. I'll remind everybody one more time, not only a way to get access to hydroxychloroquine, but lots and lots of actual, open, honest information, medical studies, experience of medical professionals right there at americasfrontlinedoctors.com, americasfrontlinedoctors.com. Sir, God bless you, and thank you so very much for your time this morning here in Denver.
Thank you, Randy. We'll see you next week. Bless you.
All right. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. The Warrior Queen, Lauren Boebert, joins us next here on The Peter Boyle Show. You better stick around. 710 KNUS.
This is The Peter Boyle Show.
We're back at 6:46, about 14 minutes to go until 7 o'clock. Randy Corcoran, still in the 20s. Nothing special today, about 43, 44 degrees for a high. Did you know that women will fill more than a quarter of the congressional seats starting in 2020? And, you know, that growth has been driven by a record number of victories among Republican women after a very focused and concerted effort by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. And I'm so privileged that we get a chance to talk to our very own warrior queen, the pistol packing mama bear from Rifle, Colorado, our newly elected Congresswoman Lauren Boebert from CD3 joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Good. How do you like that new moniker?
That was quite the intro.
Yeah, well, last time I texted you and said warrior, I thought, you know, that just doesn't cover it. So I worked on it a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely grown some. No, thank you. You know, it's an honor. And I've spent a lot of time with these women that you're talking about and the men as well in the freshman class. And I got to tell you, I am so encouraged by the freshmen who are coming in to serve in the 117th Congress. These are people who are here for all the right reasons. They have put their lives on hold to do their part to serve their country, and it's amazing.
You know, on a much, much smaller level, and as someone brand new to the Republican National Committee, I feel the same way. So much criticism, and much of it very appropriate on the Colorado GOP and just, you know, Republicans in general, a lot of down ticket hangover from the Bush era and just, you know, the way Republicans seem to turn on the president, time to concede and let's just move along,
right,
all of that. And yet when I've got a chance to meet a good chunk of these people during the RNC and during the president's acceptance speech at the White House, I was just inspired by the passion, the Tea Party history, the focus on constitutional conservatism. Not on, hey, where's the next party? How can I raise some money? How can I advance my career off of this thing? So I'm with you. And I attribute this to Donald Trump. I mean, he has completely changed the Republican Party and who our party appeals to as we move forward. And that has the Democrats scared to death.
Yes, he's a pioneer. He has pioneered the way. He's really just blazed this trail for others to step up and do this. And he's ignited a passion in America that is not going to be stifled.
Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, you obviously knew about the incredible hypocrisy of Denver Mayor Michael Hancock. I was so glad to see Ken Buck tweet out, "Hey Siri, what is the definition of hypocrisy?" And that's a great question. And then your comment was, when Denver Mayor Michael Hancock goes against his own orders, Denver residents need to stop taking orders from Mayor Hancock.
Right.
Extraordinary, these people.
This is what we're seeing all over the country. It is extraordinary. You know, from Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done without her mask, to Governor Cuomo going and having dinner with his family. We have we have elected leaders in Illinois that are caught at the table with their family enjoying their meal, and Denver Mayor Hancock hopping on a plane and then inviting everyone on the plane to join him for dinner. And so I definitely had to say something about that, because I'm tired of this. Rules are for thee, not for me. You know, I think there are a lot of people who are just fed up with these shutdowns. This is not the answer. This is not the American way. We cannot go on living like this. Here in Garfield County, our commissioners have fought to keep us at level yellow, and we're still open. But what happens when we get to orange? I mean, I hope we look like Loveland, and there's a bunch of restaurant owners that says, no, we're not doing this again.
Well, you know, you didn't mention Gavin Newsom. We're going to play his apology sometime before the show is over. But they apologize, but they're only sorry that they got caught. And I'm so sick of it. And I'm proud of you, because you are somebody who put your money where your mouth is. Your opponent in your congressional run and the media all around the state, very critical of you, you know, defying public health orders, putting people's lives at risk. But in your own business, your own restaurant, Shooter's Grill, you put your money where your mouth is as well. And it cost you some. You got shut down for a while. We have to get people to stand up, because the government doesn't know what it's doing. All shutdowns do is prolong the inevitable and wipe people's livelihoods out, in many cases forever.
Government does not know best. Andrew Cuomo thought he knew best whenever he put a lot of sick people in nursing homes. That didn't work out so well. And this is not the solution. Government's role is to inform us of the risk, you know, provide us with some guidelines, sure, and let us let us go forward and use personal responsibility.
You know,
it's time for government to trust their people.
Yeah, these emergency powers were designed for what was truly an emergency. Nobody objected during those first couple of weeks in shutting mm-hmm. down while we tried to figure out what we had in our midst and built up. You know, Donald Trump did the most remarkable job of building up resources, PPE, ventilators, you know, moving ships into harbors on both coasts. These emergency hospitals popped up, many of which, most of which, never got used at all. And nobody really objected because we didn't know what we were dealing with. But now we do. And it's outrageous that they think they can continue to do this to us.
It is. You know, I was even called out by our governor yesterday. He took the time on Thanksgiving to oust me on his personal Facebook page, or on his, I guess it's his campaign Facebook page. And he called me Congresswoman elect. And I guess I'm more than one. But, you know, he was talking about me having a funeral, a peaceful funeral for a turkey. So we could have more than 10 people gather. We were going to have 30 people gather. Funerals allow 30 here. So we were going to have that peaceful funeral for in honor of that bird. And, you know, he took the time on Thanksgiving to make sure that he ousted me.
That's just incredible. And, you know, I haven't looked into the latest numbers. I know, you know, we're in a peak flu season, which means a virus like the CCP virus is also going to be prevalent. People can get sick. Hospitals are going to have more people. Some of those people are going to die. But I haven't updated these numbers. But last week when I looked at it, we were actually at a lower number of hospital beds and ICU beds now in the midst of this so-called third wave than we were a year ago just during the regular flu season.
So it's
they're focusing on cases, and COVID. To the exclusion of the things people are dying of because they can't get treatment, because they can't get in. But those are battles for another day. I just want you to know, and you're not affected by this yet, but, you know, we got involved early on in this crisis. We've got a lawsuit really pretty much ready to go when it comes to restaurants. And it really got tabled because, you know, Bandamere popped up and restaurants because it was outside and warm. People opened up their capacity and people were, heck, some people told me they were making more money than they did last year. So it was no longer a real priority. But now that we're getting crunched down again, restaurants are getting shut down in Douglas County and elsewhere. We may be having to pull the trigger on another lawsuit. Certainly the money damages lawsuit is still ahead for everybody who's interested. So just wanted that word to get out for everybody who's listening.
Sure.
Now, we are getting near the top of the hour. I promised you I wouldn't take much of your time on a holiday weekend. I'm sure this time home with your family is so precious. What is your schedule going back and forth to D.C. as you get through orientation and get ready for your first year as a congresswoman?
Well, orientation is definitely going to take up a lot of time. I was just recently there for 10 days. And then actually before that 10-day stretch, I was there for 4 days with the Freedom Caucus folks. I'm a member of the Freedom Caucus. I'm very excited about that. And let me tell you, that's a lively bunch there who are really focused on preserving freedom in America. It's incredible. But now I head back again on Sunday for another week. And then there's some a couple of fun trips in December that we're taking. I'm going to Georgia to help with the Senate races, and I'll be down there with Senator Cruz, and we'll be rallying the troops down there. And then I will be speaking in Florida on my birthday in December in front of 7,000 youth for Turning Point USA. And so I am so encouraged about that. But then, of course, we get sworn in the first week of January, and then Nancy Pelosi, she determines our schedule. So who knows what next year is going to look like. But I'm going to come home and be with my four boys every weekend.
Now, what do you make them call you now? Is it Madam Congresswoman Mom, or just still same old mom when you get home?
I can barely get them to tie their shoes. There's no way I could change what they call me.
That's great.
So my youngest, though, while I was on the campaign trail, I came in one night, and he's sitting at the counter, and he looks over at me, and he nods his head, and he says, hey, Congress Mom, what's up?
That's awesome.
Hey, Congress kid.
Well, I'm glad to know you'll be back in D.C. this week. I'm sorry, in a way, for you, but I'll be there for a couple of days anyway for a Christmas party. Maybe I'll get a chance to see my very first congressional office from the inside. Have you gotten an office yet?
We do that this week.
Oh, okay.
So I was touring some of them, and a lot of people, they don't like the Cannon buildings because the offices are small, but that's the oldest building there. And I like it the best. I think there's so much character there. And so I would take a smaller office to have that building any day. I am getting settled in, and it's really great. I got a place to live down there. I'm just right down the hill from the Capitol. I can walk to work. And, that's another reason I need my concealed carry permit. I got a couple alleys I got to walk through to get to the Capitol.
Yeah, you know what? I want to ask you about that. We're at the top of the hour. Could we keep you through the break and just pick this up on the other side?
Sure.
Super.
You got it.
All right. Lauren Boebert stays with us. 303-696-1971. A lot of open lines in the next hour. Randy Corcoran here for Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS.